That's a good question. Come over on this end.
I'm sure you're not supposed to sit over here.
Now, Rob. Okay, well, we can't quite start yet. We need at least a quorum. A quorum is third. A quorum is third, right?
I think our quorum is...
Is a quorum a third?
I
believe quorum is a third, and a third of...
A third of 14 is 8, 6, 5.
We've got 4. Rob is here to 4. We're going with one more, and we're going to begin this operation. And then we'll just have to repeat everything that we said anyway.
Yeah. And if they're what will we do?
Yeah, you can put that. You can put that into every document, but
failure to show up on time means you get no gold stars for the day.
Well,
we'll ask the George Bush administration to come up with a punishment.
Well, so far, no bored people. Okay, thank you. All right, we have a quorum. We're going to start. As soon as you guys sit down, we're going to begin, actually. That's right, as they're dribbling in. We're running a little late. And this is a particularly tight schedule that we have this weekend. As we all know, we've already been working all day today, and most of the board was here yesterday in a retreat, too. So we all, I think, have a sense of the fullness of the weekend, and I really don't want to delay starting this meeting. We also are being broadcast. We have encouraged our stations to carry these meetings, and several of them are carrying them, and it's really not fair to the staff and the listeners in those stations to not be here when we say we're going to be here. So we are getting started. I'm actually, I know WBAI is broadcasting now. I'm not sure if they've gone on the air just yet, but they are broadcasting tonight and all weekend. I'm not sure what Kay is doing. Is Kay broadcasting all weekend? WPFW is broadcasting most of tomorrow and most of Sunday and recording the other parts that they're not doing the live broadcast on for playing, you know, at other parts of the week. And KPFA is broadcasting all day tomorrow and all day Sunday and will be reporting on tonight. KPFT here is not doing a live broadcast, but they are web streaming on their second web stream, kpftk.x.org, www.kpftx.org. So we want to welcome that new web stream to the family. And we do, of course, thank these stations. This is and will be for... I'm not exactly sure how many more months, a very important period in the life of this organization. And the work that we do during these weekend meetings is critical to the larger Pacifica family, including the people who produce shows, the paid staff, the non-paid programmers, the local advisory board members and the listeners in all five signal areas. So we really are very happy that the stations are doing their best to broadcast these meetings. And we encourage the stations to hang in there with us and continue to do that. It really helps get the information out much more broadly so we can have a fuller and more informed discussion with feedback and input from larger numbers of people. Even though that sometimes can feel a little hair-raising to get all that feedback, it is important to the process, and we do certainly do appreciate it. The first order of business here is to review and adopt the meeting agenda. Based on the, which hopefully everybody in the on the board has, it was in your packet, and also copies were made for those of you who are here today and circulated earlier today, so I don't really know where they are right now. If you don't have one, just look around you and see if there's one circulating. But based on the work that we did earlier today about around bylaws, on the bylaws, it became clear that the chunk of time that we had set aside for bylaws discussion on Saturday afternoon was not nearly going to be enough for the work we hope to get done this weekend. And we even discussed earlier today how much work we thought we could get done. And what we are looking to do, what we are seeking to do and pushing ourselves as far as we can to do, is to go through the proposals and identify where we have the non-controversial issues, the issues we have agreement on, look at the more controversial issues and see if we have majority agreement on any of them, pull those pieces together, that is, the non-controversial issues and those that we have majority agreement on, and coming out of this weekend, hopefully within a week to 10 days, prepare a new draft bylaws that would go, obviously, to everybody on the interim board, but also would go to the five local advisory boards, as well as to a lawyer. And we would set a time frame for to ask the labs to meet and convene, and if they need to have more than one meeting, to have as many discussions as they need to within a relatively short time frame, we hope no longer than a month, to get feedback and comments on what they agree on or don't agree on, as well as to get the feedback from the lawyer so we can move this process ahead with the goal of hopefully voting on this, on a new set of bylaws by the December meeting. What happened, though, earlier today made it clear that if we're going to get even that amount of work done this weekend, we needed to open up more time on the agenda. So hopefully everybody who's sitting at the table now has the agenda in front of them, and I want to make the following recommendations for changes in the agenda. Clearly, I did not have time to type this up again and copy it, so you're going to have to listen carefully. First of all, the minutes from the previous meetings, as we all know, we were not able to get them out to folks earlier, before this weekend. They've all been put together, and actually, can you just pass this over to that goes with you? So everybody has them now, but I assume that, like myself, people have not had a chance to read them yet. So I want to move the adoption of minutes from previous meetings to Sunday, probably to Sunday morning first thing. So we would pick up a little bit of time today. I've asked Brian DeShazer from the archives to give us a much abbreviated report on the archives tonight. Instead of a half an hour for report and questions and answers, to just take 15 minutes. Not in any way to send a message that we think the archives are unimportant, but only because we have this pressure around the bylaws. And he has generously agreed to that. That would bring us to, that would bring us to about 7:15, the completion of that. We would then have, I want to suggest, an hour of general comment from listeners, from activists who are here, which would then give us an hour or an hour and a quarter for some more bylaws discussion tonight. Tomorrow morning, we would start at 9 a.m. with a report from the executive director and a brief time for questions and answers. Instead, and I'm looking at tomorrow morning and shaving. I want to propose that we shave off time from all of the items tomorrow morning. So instead of 45 minutes for the executive director's report and question and answer, we'd have a half an hour. We would then move into the website report from 9:30 to 9:50. 950. So that instead of a half an hour, we'd have 20 minutes. We would then move from 9:50 to 10:15 to the on-air editorials and a resolution, so that would be 25 minutes instead of half an hour. We would then go to the treasurer's report at 10:15 to 10:45. I would leave that as a half an hour. And then go from 10:45 to noon for finances. That's another very, very critical item that we have to do this weekend, is to review the budgets for the next fiscal year and some other items. Break for lunch at 12 and reconvene at 1:30. From 1:30 to 2, have the discussion of the affiliates proposal, and then from 2 to 6, that's a four-hour chunk of time, bylaws. We're adding another half hour there. On Sunday morning, we would begin with the minutes from the previous meetings. Hopefully, that would be done very quickly. Hopefully, people won't see any problems with them. Then move to the national office move question, 45 minutes. A major change that I want to propose for the agenda is on the rest of Sunday morning. We had scheduled from 9:45 to 12:45, a three-hour time chunk, station reports. The managers, the lab chairs, and community comment from each station. I want to ask the station managers and the lab chairs and the community folks who are here to really help us this weekend by agreeing to limiting that whole time from 3 hours to cut it back to 1 hour, which would basically mean asking the station managers and the lab chairs not to read the written reports that they've given us, but to either highlight anything in those that you really need us to focus on, or anything that didn't get into your written reports that you need to call our attention to. So we have, instead of, you know, in half an hour or 40 minutes per station, we'd really have like 15 minutes per station to really try and zero in. That would give us about 2 more hours for the bylaws discussion. And I know that that's going to be hard, but for you all to, you know, to cut back on your time that way. But I think I hope that you'll agree that it will serve the interests of the whole organization if we can free up that time, and then the rest of agenda would follow as is. So I know several people on the board came in the middle of my presentation. I actually don't want to repeat it. Maybe you can just catch up from the person you're sitting next to. If my changes are okay with folks, if people don't see any glaring problem, I think I have freed up another 4 hours for bylaws discussion, which obviously we need. So, Jabari?
Yeah, I had, I would like on Sunday, instead of to have this time for race and nationality, which I don't know if there's going to be an action item coming out of that, but I think we need, as a board, to start to have some discussion on mission fulfillment and some kind of strategic planning, because we've never done that. And I think, for me, I would get more out of that discussion than to deal with this issue, which is important, but it's not as important as to us as a board as to do some open discussion on where we see this organization going, and to discuss some of the strategic issues that face the organization.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of strategic planning will we be talking about when we're out of a job in March?
Well, we need to be talking about what we're going to do in areas of programming, what we're going to do in the areas of the non-realized aspect of the mission, such as the arts, grant giving, capital funding, endowment, other areas of revenue generation besides listener sponsorship. There are a host of issues that I would like to discuss as a board that at least sets a framework for the next board to begin to discuss and for the listeners and the people to understand that we need to start addressing these issues.
Okay, let me suggest that we made at our last meeting in June, I thought, a significant, important commitment on the questions of race and nationality and other related issues. And that now is the time to make sure that that work is settling in, or that we're settling in on that work and moving it forward. I would not like to remove that from this agenda this weekend. I also think that we have started to move in a way where we try to circulate ideas or proposals or thoughts before meetings so that we can have a fuller discussion. So I would like to suggest that we keep the race and nationality, that if we want to, cut the time a little bit, I really wouldn't want to cut it very much, in order to just talk about what steps would need to be taken to have at the December meeting some of the kinds of issues addressed that Jabari's raising. I think that would be more appropriate than cutting off the race and nationality discussion and moving into something that we're not really prepared to fully discuss.
I'm just trying to figure what action item that this board has to take is going to come out of that discussion.
Well, partially, we don't know yet. We don't know yet because we don't know what the reports are going to be from each of the five cities. But that's what we want to hear. And people have been working on this in each of the five cities. So, there may very well be some action items. I would like to... I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about the agenda tonight.
But we didn't fulfill. There were a bunch of action items that came in the last meeting that never got done. And it seems like if we're gonna actually do something as a board, then when we make a directive, it needs to get done. There was a directive from the last meeting that people do 2 hours of programming, that every station do 2 hours of programming a week. That never got done.
I think we want to get a report from that.
I know it's not being done at PFW 2 hours
okay.
a week.
Well, speak
okay.
Yourself, then. Right.
Okay. Every week. So I'm just saying there's action items. The things that we need to do as a board that direct the stations to do certain things. There's things that we can listen to that we don't take any action items on. I want to deal with stuff that there's a potential action item out of.
Okay,
and one of the important things I think we need to do as a board is to deal with some of the planning and vision, because it gets directly into budget creation. And for us to create a budget, we need to set priorities and a vision of what we think is important for the organization. But we haven't had an open discussion on what we think is important for the organization. Either we're going to deal with stuff that isn't important or isn't as high a priority as other things, or we're going to deal with what we consider to be higher priority things. I think it's a higher priority to start discussing things that will directly affect the budget of the organization.
Thank you. Okay, thanks, Jabari. What I'd like to do is I made a proposal for the agenda for the rest of this weekend. Jabari has raised an alternative idea for handling part of Sunday. What I would like to see if there is, I think these one way to handle this and the way I would like to suggest that we move forward is to vote on the budget. I guess it's on my mind. To vote on the agenda as revised that I proposed. If there is agreement on that, then that's what we go with. If there's not agreement on, if people vote it down, then we will revise it further. I think that's
okay.
A way to move forward. Okay, so all those...
So moved.
So moved. Okay, thank you. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Thank you. Pete seconded it. If we can move right to the vote, can we do a show of hands or do we need a roll call vote? that's going to do a show of hands on this?
I heard reports from people listening over the radio that they would prefer we do roll call votes on most issues. We did
but on the agenda, do we need a roll call vote? It's just on the agenda. It's not a substantive issue.
All right.
Can we just do a show of hands? All those in favor of adopting the revised agenda that I brought forth,
Leslie,
please.
In terms of bylaws discussion, are we voting on any bylaw changes, or are we just having a discussion so to get a sense of what are we doing?
I'm sorry you missed the earlier discussion, and I'm sorry you missed 10 minutes ago when I explained this. I'm going to try and say this. I'm going to say this now, right? And hopefully everybody can absorb it so we don't have to say it again, right? Because it's all complicated. Those of us who were here earlier agreed that what we were seeking to do this weekend, and again, there's no guarantee, but this is what we're going to make our best effort to do, is to go through the bylaws proposals, and we've already gone through a chunk of it, an initial chunk of it. Can people at the door go away?
Outside,
or
please.
Be quiet.
Outside.
Sorry, it's just that we're going to go through them in as orderly a fashion as we can, see where there are non-controversial issues that we basically have agreement on, identify the controversial issues, and then get take votes on those issues to see if there is a majority opinion one way or another on the controversial issues. Having done that, if we have some of those issues where we have identified a majority opinion, take the majority opinion on those issues and the non-controversial issues and use that as a basis for a new draft of one draft of bylaws, which hopefully would be written up in 10 days, the week to 10 days, sent to the labs and to a lawyer to look at for, you know, obviously legal reasons, and ask the labs to, within 3 to 4 weeks of that, have meetings to discuss this new draft to see if they agree with it, they don't agree with it, where their problems are, or where their agreement is, with the goal of this process being that by the December board meeting, we would have a filled out enough set of bylaws that we can actually vote on them. So our goal is to take some votes, but not to, we're not going to finish the bylaws process this weekend. But in order, we're not going to adopt them this weekend, obviously. So in order to do that, though, based on the amount of time it took us this afternoon to work through, a small portion, we all agreed by the end of the conversation today that we needed to open up more time, and that's why I made the recommendations for the agenda changes. So, again, having said all that, can we move to the vote on the motion to adopt the revised agenda? Okay, all those in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All those opposed to the revised agenda. 1, 2, 3, 4. And abstentions? Ray, you abstaining?
6, 4.
6 to 4 to 1.
Six out of 11 passes.
It passes. We're in a little conundrum here. Yeah. I don't think that's either 2/3. Is it a balanced majority?
It's a procedural motion. Let's go on.
Well, okay.
It doesn't pass. Yeah, it passes.
Leslie.
Yes. Who said yes, Leslie?
Yes, me. Jabari's here. Can we at least put some time, because since you cut down this 3 hours for the station?
I already suggested that, Jabari. It's going to be cut down to 1 hour.
Right, I understand. Can we stick this issue of dealing with some of the things that I want to talk about, like the
idea was to
plan?
Open up the time for the bylaws. You were here before. You saw how...
I know, but that's what I'm saying. You're cutting down the stations from 3 to 1 hour. What I want to do is stick a discussion in on some of the strategic issues that will be affecting the budget, because we haven't had a real discussion on budgetary issues.
Can I suggest again that the budget issues actually for the next fiscal year are happening on Saturday, tomorrow? You're going to give your treasurer's report, I assume. I know some of those issues are going to come up in that report, right? You're going to surface some of those issues then. And, you know what I really like to do, folks? I'd like to move the agenda. And that let's get through tonight, and then we can talk about it after the meeting tonight if we need to make other adjustments. Okay? Okay. So, thank you. As you see, not everybody from the engine board is here yet. James Ferguson is due to arrive this evening sometime. I don't know exactly what time. So, so he won't be here for tonight's meeting, but he should be here for the rest of the weekend. Bert Lee called yesterday and is not well. His doctor urged him not to get on an airplane. So he will not be making it to this weekend meeting. And Dick Gregory, I haven't heard from in terms of his participation in the weekend, so I'm assuming also he will not be here. So this is, the rest of us are here. And welcome, everybody. I will be, like I said, we're going to move the adoption of minutes from previous meetings to Sunday. I will be very brief in my opening comments, but I do have a few thousand words I want to say. No, a few quick comments that I would like to make here. First, again, I want to very much thank the stations that are broadcasting live and the websites that are streaming this. It does help us get the word out, get the information out, get the ideas out to the listeners around the country. And I also want to thank the technical people who make that happen. Jim Bennett from KPFA, who helps on all of our national broadcasts and saves us many times. Folks here in Houston, especially Steve Brightwell, the operations, the chief engineer at KPFT, I want to thank him and Dwayne Bradley, the station manager, for also helping to make this happen. I don't know everybody else's name, but I want to thank all the technical people. And we also want to thank the volunteers here in Houston who have helped with the hotel arrangements and picking us up at the airport and photocopying and all the things that happen behind the scenes. Teresa Allen from the board who helped coordinate that, and a whole bunch of folks from the local board. Again, I don't have everyone's name, so I'm not going to try to do the name thing. We just want to thank everybody who really works very hard to make these meetings happen. Thank you. In a shifting gears a little bit, one quick thing. You all will notice that the Democracy Now! Contract is not on this agenda. There is not an update to give people about that situation. I think everybody knows there was a little bit of controversy about the contract. The board did decide to hire a lawyer and a host of questions and concerns were forwarded to the lawyer. He was asked to address them. He did address some of them, but not others of them, so the committee that the board set up decided that we should get another lawyer, and that so it's all moving more slowly than anybody had anticipated, so there is no real report to give on that, which does mean, of course, that the contract is as it was, signed, you know, back several months ago. There have been no changes in it, because it is still in process. So I just wanted to share that so people didn't think we were avoiding anything on the agenda. There really is nothing substantive to talk about this weekend yet. I just want to say a few words about where I think we are in this organization and this process of transition. I have been, I actually mentioned this a little bit at the June meeting, but continue to be somewhat concerned about the ways we interact within this network over the last several months. And a part of my analysis, whether others share it, I don't really know, is that our lack of clarity about a new structure has opened up room for honest confusion, some maybe purposeful mischief Some just, you know, just not knowing where we are and where we fit in and who's responsible for what. It's in that context that I know I came into this weekend, and I think others of us on the board also came into this weekend, hoping to really move this bylaws discussion along as far as we could. That it becomes, it has become increasingly clear to me anyway, that we need to continue to be deliberate and thoughtful in this process and not rush to, you know, not push ourselves to make quick decisions that aren't thought out. But that needs to be balanced against the need of this organization, the need of each of our five stations and as a national organization to bring some greater clarity to how we work and how the different pieces of who we are relate to each other and what the relationships are. I think that will help us. Part of what that's meant, though, is that we have spent and continue of necessity, will be so for a while yet, a lot of our energy focused internally. And I'm hoping that as we do this work, which we will continue to do, the internal housekeeping and redecorating of the house, if you will, rebuilding of the house, that we need to also look a little more externally. The world is on fire. It is bad out there. And we need to think about that external world that we are in. Thank you. So it's for that reason, for instance, one of the items on the agenda this weekend are some editorial positions that we hope to adopt so we can, as an organization, as the Pacifica Foundation, take a stand on at least two issues that are of concern to the people that we speak to and speak for. We also, I think a lot of people on the interim board share this, and it actually came up yesterday in the retreat that most of us were at, have realized that while we have helped to organize a process for discussion around the network on bylaws issues, that in a similar way, although perhaps done differently, we need to play some role in helping to organize a network-wide series of discussions about how we struggle internally, about how we work out our differences. How do we think about the mission of this organization? How do we view the next steps and the vision that we have for Pacifica? How do we turn the energy that was unleashed in the struggle to win back Pacifica, how do we turn that into creative energy in this rebuilding process and not just turn on each other? That we need a series of systematic and organized discussions and exchanges of our ideas and our thoughts throughout the network. Some of that's begun to happen at these board retreats, but we realize that needs to happen in each of the five listening areas as well. We need to talk in that context, too, about what do we need to do to, again, make this organization, each of the five stations and the national organization, an effective part of the peace and justice movement in this country. So we're not going to be able to figure all that out this weekend, but that is, I think, one of the things that we would like to, one of the services that we would like to provide as an interim board is to help in the creation of those kind of discussions around this network. Part of that also is thinking about even developing some sort of code of conduct for ourselves as a board and for each of the listening areas. I know here in Texas, a code of conduct has been developed. I don't know how well it's working, but we should look at that experience and see what we can learn about it so that we begin to struggle with each other and not against each other. And that's not to say that we deny our differences or run from the difficulties we might have from each other, but how do we handle those differences? How do we use that? How do we enter that process in a constructive way that helps us on the mission of what we've all come together to do? Finally, let me just wrap this up by saying a word or two about this weekend. Again, as you all know from what we just talked about in terms of the agenda, we have a tremendous amount of work to do. The bylaws are obviously a big item. The finances, looking at these budgets and making some decisions about the budgets is a big item, as is everything on this agenda. May not be as big in time, but they're all critically important. This may be unnecessary to say, but let me say it anyway. This is a meeting of the Interim National Board of the Pacifica Foundation. We are mandated, and I think we have a moral and a political responsibility to have these meetings in public. We are engaged in a process with listeners, with lab members, with producers, paid and non-paid staff. This weekend, though, is a board meeting. We will do our best to hear your comments, to take your concerns into consideration, but we also do ask of you to give us the time and space to have the conversations that we need to have among ourselves. So we welcome those of you who are here with us, and we're delighted that those of you who are listening on the web and on the radio are here with us too. We are not uninterested in what you have to say. We are very interested. We also, though, at the very same time, need your understanding of our need to get a certain amount of work done. So the truth of the matter is there will be less time this weekend than there has been at the last few meetings that we've held for listener comments. There will be time, but it will be less than you've gotten used to. So please be patient with us. I think that that's the reality of where we are in this organization and the work we have to do. So those are my opening comments. I think we should move right into the heart of the agenda. So we'll hear from Brian Schrazer, who is the head guy, our main man, at the archives based in Los Angeles. Brian?
Hi. Good afternoon, everybody. There's not enough time to clap. Since June, the Pacifica Radio Archives has made a great leap forward in developing an actionable, long-term plan for improved preservation, digitization, cataloging, and electronic web and physical access to Pacifica's archived recordings. With assistance from grant consultant Addie Gevins, the Archives recently completed and submitted a heritage and preservation grant proposal to the National Endowment for the Arts. This grant will have experts come in who will give us an assessment of the physical collection, give us recommendations on equipment, give us training in the proper flat transfer process that we've spoken about before, and also create a best standards and practices manual. The initial phase of creating an archives advisory group for the project has been met with enthusiasm from academics, historians, archivists, documentarians, Pacifica veterans, and current staff. The Archives has continued its support to stations during fund drives and assisted programmers and producers with special programming, such as the KPFK Chicano Moratorium Anniversary Program and the National and Local Governance and Bylaw Specials. During the summer fund drive, KPFA granted the Archives an hour of on-air time to raise emergency funds for the breakdown of the air conditioner unit or the environmental unit in the cold storage room. In 1 hour, we raised over $8,000 for this, and I'd like to thank Carol Spooner for joining us in that program. The bad news was that the air conditioner was giving us some problems, and the cold storage unit was very hot. What we found out after we knew that we had the funds to work with, we had an estimate of $8,000 for replacement, we had an estimate of $5,000 for a replacement, we had an estimate of $3,000 for a replacement. What we finally found was an engineering company that came in that told us that the unit is not broken, does not need replacing. We spent about $500 on the repair. It's the environment has been stabilized. We're in good shape, and the unit will last another 5 years. With the on-air fundraiser at KPFK, listeners responded with that $8,000 gross in pledges, and KPFK made a commitment to meet our goal, which was $10,000, proving that listener concern for the safety of the recordings is at an all-time high. The increased awareness of the collection has attracted skilled volunteers who have assisted the archive staff with operations during the sales record-breaking month of July, as well as the purchase, installation, and setup of a new backup server and operating system that replaced the previous corrupted system. Although the physical condition of the collection continues to rapidly deteriorate and the lack of storage space poses a serious problem, the support this interim board has created and encouraged throughout the network has given the archives opportunities for growth unprecedented in its 32-year history. We are grateful and request your continued participation in the struggle to save this valuable history we protect. In finances, this past year, we broke all records in revenue income, which we were projected to say for tape sales income for the FY202, we projected $45,000. At the end of this month, we should reach $90,000, doubling our projected sales income. This is in part due to consistent on-air mention of the archives on national network programs, mention of the archives on station programs, and website promotion and development, as well as inclusion into this the national board meetings, which, again, since this interim board has been in existence, this is the first time the archives has actually been able to address you directly. So thank you for that. The archives projects an increase in future Democracy Now! Tape sales since the September 3rd implementation of an 800-number service processing listener orders. In the first 2 days that this service was in existence, we had over 234 orders that were processed, which represents about $5,000 in revenue in that two-day period. That our monthly goal for September was only $3,400. In that first 2 days, we did $5,000. So that's where we come from, that $45,000 to $90,000. Let's see. PRA is, the archives is grateful to Democracy Now! Beyond a Reasonable Doubt by being the largest part of tape sales, subsequently sustaining archives operations during the national crisis. The steady growth of the archives revenue this past year has allowed National Office to defer the estimated $231,000 in central services that the archives did not receive in FY202. This will be shown as a surplus in the next budget. Thanks to the collective and unanimous interest of this interim board, executive management, and station managers, the archives will hold its first national day of fundraising in November. That will help address the urgent needs the archives has been reporting on this year that requires funds. These in part include preservation equipment, new computer workstations, web upgrade, and new staff positions, including cataloger and administrative assistants. The collection is still in a critical stage, losing valuable time in arresting the deterioration of the tapes. This past quarter, the archives has worked diligently to stabilize the storage environment, create a strategy for dealing with tapes found to be in danger, and maintain minimal cataloging standards. A quick story. On September 11th, was it September? Yes. The archives produced a montage of Voices for Peace, and I went in on a Sunday and listened to about 20 to 30 hours worth of programming to get a three-minute montage together. In all of those voices, we did not get Martin Luther King Jr. because the tape I found was in bad shape. We couldn't listen to it. So that is a direct hit, slap in your face, that we are losing ground. We can save this tape, I believe, but this was the tape that Martin Luther King went to a prison in Santa Rita to visit Joan Baez and others who were arrested for protesting the draft. So this isn't a speech that somebody else has. This is a Pacifica reporter meeting Dr. King outside of the prison and asking why he went there. A collection development plan, including rescuing additional historic Pacific recordings, surveying station and producer holdings, and solicit stations and current producers to deposit selected programs with the archives is on hold until resources of storage space, conservation and restoration practices, and catalog entry and access can be actualized. Relationships forged with Larry Applebaum of the Library of Congress, David Siebert from the University of California, Santa Barbara, and field experts in audio archive preservation and access are increasing visibility of the collection and constitute valuable resources for analyzing current standards and practices and developing those best practices. In the staffing, the archive still has an urgent need to hire a professional cataloger, an office administrator, and a professional archivist. The cataloger and office administrator are included in the upcoming FY2003 budget. The PRA staff, aside from myself, deserves recognition for their hard work and care for the health of the collection, as well as maintaining services to the Pacifica Station's affiliates and listeners. The archives has enjoyed more positive support than at any other time, but has not been immune to the struggles that continue to plague the network. The staff has remained cheerful, supportive, and dedicated to the principles and ethics of archiving, which is to collect and preserve what is and will be an alternative recorded history. The services to the stations have played, the archives has played an important role in providing new and archival programming to Pacifica stations. And we continue to collect and make copies available to listeners at cost and upon request of Democracy Now!, Explorations with Michio Kaku, This Way Out, the KPFK Morning Show, Background Briefing, and other local programs as requested. This month, the archives completed a successful original 12-part program series called A Passion for Survival with Dr. Helen Caldicott, narrated by Lily Tomlin. The program features both archival tape and new recordings of Dr. Caldicott in dialogue with activist intellectuals such as Noam Chomsky, Michael Parenti, Michio Kaku, Julia Butterfly Hill, Blaise Bonpain, John Sellers, Ramona Ribston, Greg Palast, and our own Amy Goodman. The series was produced by myself and Mark Torres with help from KPFA and constitutes a significant national programming offer to stations and affiliates while National Programming Unit is defunct. In addition to bolstering the archive's credibility as a national unit, vital to both the network as a whole and to the individual stations. Following initial distribution of the series, the series will be offered to Australian Broadcasting Corporation and the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation for broadcast, broadening the archive's presence in other markets. Continuing in association with the literary series, A Clear and Present Danger, hosted by Steve Rohde and produced by the Penn Center USA West, PRA distributed a special program on the anniversary of the TWA Flight 800. This was the first program offered to stations and affiliates as a downloadable file from the archive's website. The archives has continued to strengthen relationships forged in larger arenas such as the NFCB conference, the Association of Recorded Sound Collectors. Outreach has gathered a diverse group of archives friends concerned with the health and preservation of the collection, generally regarded as the premier resource for audio documentation of the 20th century political activism, thought, arts and culture from the leftist and progressive perspectives in the United States. In terms of grants with the NEA grant, the immediate goal is to create a plan for archives preservation and access that will acknowledge and reward Pacifica's contribution to the record to the history of the 20th century and beyond. In the NEA Heritage and Preservation Grant proposal, we developed a two-year project that will bring the archives to the forefront of sound preservation. It focuses on the arts-related recordings, and experts will be contracted to conduct preliminary assessment of both the physical state of the collection and the public access to the catalog database. 100 key art heritage tapes, including poetry, literature, drama, spoken word, radio documentary, and radio art, will be selected for preservation and description. Other grant prospects in development are the NEH Preservation and Access, the National Archives NHPRC Collection and Preservation, the Washington, D.C. Humanities Council, California Council for Humanities, the Paul Robeson Fund for Media, and by the end of this month, we should be completing a proposal for the Grammy Recording Academy Grant Program. In the website, this month, we launched, in fact, September 11th, we launched the Archive's new website redesign and focuses on four main objectives: the accessibility to the archive records, online sales and fundraising, station and affiliate communication, and service as a resource for education, a source for production elements, and as a library of programs suitable for rebroadcast. For example, the 1964 radio documentary, the 1934 San Francisco waterfront and general strike produced by Ernest Lowe was broadcast on KPFK celebrating Labor Day and received incredible feedback. The ILW has requested a copy of this program to be distributed and broadcast at union events. In our objectives, the immediate goal for the entire archive staff is to work as a team to bring the collection's physical environment up to proper standards, safeguarding further damage. We look forward to actionable support from this interim board of directors and executive management in the coming months. With respect to the financial burden the foundation is still experiencing, there must be a discussion regarding minimum payment of central services to the archives during times of financial crisis or further development of independent funding. We can no longer sustain ourselves the way we have this past year and manage to get past our goals and objectives. We've just been barely treading water and are holding our head above water, even with the increase in tape sales. PRA will maintain station relations and services by seeking new and vibrant premiums for fund drives and increasing communication with stations management, staff, producers, and programmers with emphasis on acquisitions and collection development. After this board meeting, I'll be going to New York to meet with Valerie and at WBAI and staffers to talk to them about collection development. Programmers are asking, what do they do with their recordings? So we'll be talking with them about that. And that's it for the moment. If you have any questions or anything.
Thanks. Thank you, Brian. Any questions on the board? Yeah, Jabari.
Jabari, okay. How much of the current library is planned to be converted to digital medium? What's the timetable to try to convert the analog into?
We don't have a timeline schedule planned, other than in the NEA grant, the process is 2 years of doing the assessment, figuring out, making recommendations for the equipment, and then training us on the practice of flat transfer. In the meantime, we are digitizing what is not damaged by request. Any new programs that come up, the Juneteenth special, the September 11th anniversary, the March on Washington, April 20th, programs like the 1934 general strike, those programs that we rebroadcast or make do for the stations for rebroadcast, we do digitize.
Is all new entries are produced on digital media?
Yes, most of it is. We do have a digital archive now, which is about, I think, maybe 300 or 400 units. But that's most of what's new, like the Juneteenth special. Those start on CD, which we'll eventually have to put onto reel-to-reel tape. So even though we start out with that digital format, we are going to have to put it back on reel-to-reel, which is the archival standard.
Why?
Because that's the archival standard. It's still, in other words, the archivists and the recording sound collectors, we don't know how long a CD really lasts. We think it's about 10 years, but there are some extra added problems. The ink in the pens that write on top of the CD, some they're finding out now that the chemical formula can bleed through and ruin the sound. We look about maybe a CD from 10 years ago, we start seeing sound deterioration. So that is not an archival standard. The reel-to-reel, tangible, tactile thing is what the sound recording engineers and specialists really stick to.
Okay, there are other questions or comments we want to make? Well, again, I just want to thank you not only for the report, but the work. And please pass on to the rest of the staff the appreciation that I think not only the board, but this whole network has for the incredible work that you guys do every day.
Thanks. I'd like to say one more thing, and also going to New York. We licensed audio for the Richard Avedon exhibit at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And as you go through and look at Avedon's portraits, there's a portrait of Carson McCullers. They came to us, and we found Carson McCullers reading from her play, Member of the Wedding. So we're on the audio tour of that exhibit. They have also just told me 2 days ago that in their television publicity promotions, they're using that audio as the television publicity promo with credit for the archives because it's that powerful.
Okay, very good. So thank you, Brian.
So if you want more information on the archives, please visit us at that new website, which is www.pacificaradioarchives.org.
Okay, Rob.
This is just on behalf of board members, staff, and listeners. I'd just like to say what a pleasure it is to work with Brian and all the people on the archives staff. Everybody in Pacifica, thanks you, Brian, and all your staff, too.
Thank you.
Brian, thank you very, very much. There will come a time when you will have more time at these meetings.